For Tuesday, August 18th, we're going to read from Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14. As for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. One person believes he may eat anything, while the weak person eats only vegetables. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats, for God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. One person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God, while the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord, and if we die, we die to the Lord. So then, whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we will all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, As I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. I know, and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it is unclean. For if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. By what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. Whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Do not, for the sake of food, destroy the work of God. Everything is indeed clean, but it is wrong for anyone to make another stumble by what he eats. It is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. But whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats, because the eating is not from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. Chapter 14 is a very important chapter in the book of Romans. I would remind you of what we discussed when we started the letter, that we had a church that was a mixture of Jews and Gentiles. The Jews had been thrown out of Rome for a while and then allowed to return at a later date, and that changed the leadership of the church, and that changed maybe even some of the practices of the church. I'm not talking about something sinful, but I just mean that some of their traditions and the way they did things would have changed. And when the Jews come back, they likely would have wanted things to go back to the way they were. And so a lot of the book of Romans has been addressing the fact that Jews and Gentiles are equal, that the Jews are not better than the Gentiles or vice versa, and that one group doesn't get to tell others how to do things simply by virtue of I'm a Jew or I'm a Gentile or anything along those lines. So when we get to chapter 14, it's very important because we're talking about unity among the church. We're talking about not having squabbles about different things. And I want to set a little bit of groundwork before we start looking at chapter 14 deeper. And that is that in chapter 14, we are talking about matters of liberty. There is sin that is discussed, but the sin that is discussed is convincing someone to do something against their conscience and thus causing them to sin, causing them to stumble. So keep that in mind, because there are many that have the mistaken idea that chapter 14 means that, well, we just accept each other and move on, and we don't ever work out our differences. And so, you know, if we have differences in matter of doctrine, that's okay. We're just going to all be one anyway and ignore that there's any differences. No, that's not what Paul is talking about here. So let's think about what he says. He says, as for the one who is weak in faith, welcome him, but not to quarrel over opinions. What's interesting is that the way that it's set here in chapter 14, the one who's weak in faith likely thinks that they are the strong in faith. They're usually someone that has gone to a stricter degree about the commandments of the Lord than is required, and they are then wanting others to do likewise. So he says one person believes he may eat anything. Okay, there's no restriction there, and the Lord has told us that we can eat our food and we can enjoy it, we can be happy about it, we can be grateful for it. It says, while the weak person eats only vegetables. So the weak person restricts what God has given as a liberty. So all food is okay, but this person believes that no, only the subset of food is okay, restricting some foods. Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains. So the person that realizes that they have liberty to make those choices, they are not to pass judgment on the person that restricts. They're not sinning by restricting themselves. If they decide, for example, that they're only going to eat vegetables, they're not going to eat any meat, they have not sinned by doing so. So he says, God has welcomed him. In other words, it's God's approval that really matters, not your approval, not my approval, not anybody else's approval. It's God's approval that matters, and it's God who they're going to have to answer to at the end. So they need to be sure about what they're doing. In fact, both sides need to be sure about their faith. Now, I want to make another quick comment about faith. When he says the one who is weak in faith, they're talking about their own personal convictions. He's not talking about the faith. They're not saying that this is a Christian that just can't seem to get on the right track and they seem to always be falling away. No, that's not what he's saying by calling them weak in faith. He's just talking about those personal convictions. So he says, who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand. Again, it's God's approval that matters, not anything else. One person esteems one day as better than another. Well, now we've shifted gears. Now we're talking about preferring days instead of talking about foods. The principle is the same. I think all he's really doing is just going at it from another angle, just in case there might be some that are resistant to the teaching because it's about something that affects them personally. So when he says one person esteems one day as better than another, while another esteems all days alike, each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. Whichever side I'm on, I need to be okay with that. I need to be convinced about that. My conscience needs to be settled about that. The one who observes the day observes it in honor of the Lord. The one who eats, eats in honor of the Lord, since he gives thanks to God. While the one who abstains, abstains in honor of the Lord and gives thanks to God. Both of them are thankful to God, and both of them honor the Lord. So whatever we are making choices in regards to our liberties, we need to make sure that we are honoring the Lord in those choices. None of us lives to himself, and none of us dies to himself. For if we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So then whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's. That's where we are. We are Christians. We are in Christ. We belong to the Lord. And it is the Lord who is our judge. For to this end Christ died and lived again, that he might be Lord both of the dead and of the living. Then verse 10, very pointed question. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? In other words, one group is looking down on the other group. One person is looking down on another person because of their personal choices in matters of liberty. Brethren, whenever we're making our own choices and deciding what we're going to do, you don't look down on others because they make a different choice. Again, we're not talking about sin. I mean, this could be, well, I think that Christians are the good guys, and so all Christians should wear white cowboy hats. We shouldn't be wearing black cowboy hats. Black cowboy hats are for the evil guys. We know that from our Western movies, right? So anybody that wears a black Western hat, I'm gonna look down on them. No, that's not right, and that's what he's saying. You don't look down on others for the choices they make that are their own matters of liberty. That's their freedom in Christ to do and to choose. So as it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Now he's going to get into the conscience, which fits right in with what he's telling us. You know, even if you're, it's just a matter of violating conscience, that's still a big deal. That's still a problem. So he says, therefore, let us not pass judgment on one another any longer, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or a hindrance in the way of a brother. I want to remind you of what Jesus said in Mark chapter 9, verse 42. Whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. So Jesus taught us that it was very important that we not harm someone in the faith. A brother or sister, as he states there, little ones, those that may be weaker in faith. He says, I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it is unclean. So if we think that it's not right for me to do this, then it's not right for me to do this. And it's a matter of conscience, and we need to respect that. Does that mean that that conscience can't change? No, those ideas can change over time as maybe we come to a better understanding. Who knows? But for today, if my conscience says, no, this is not right for me, then I need to respect that. I need to respect my own conscience, and I need to respect the conscience of others. 15, if your brother is grieved by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. It's not a loving attitude that says I'm going to do what I want, no matter what it, how it affects anybody else. Remember, love is wanting what's best for somebody else. What's best for somebody else is for them to not violate their conscience, is what he's saying here. So, by what you eat, do not destroy the one for whom Christ died. There is no food that's worth that. There is no personal liberty that is worth costing the soul of a brother or sister. So do not let what you regard as good be spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Just because it's something we enjoy doesn't mean it's required, doesn't mean we absolutely have to have it. So whoever thus serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. So then let us pursue what makes for peace and for mutual upbuilding. Let's pursue that peace, be one in Christ, and not harm each other, and not pass judgment on each other on matters of conscience. Do not for the sake of food destroy the work of God. Or I would change that just a little bit to give it a broader context and say, do not for the sake of liberty destroy the work of God. Just because it is liberty doesn't mean that it won't cause a problem for our brother or sister. We need to have respect for each other. We need to respect each other's conscience to the point of truly living, I want what's best for my brother or my sister or my neighbor. I don't want to harm them. Verse 21, it is good not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything that causes your brother to stumble. Remember Paul's attitude of, well, if it harms my brother, then I won't eat it. I won't have it. Even though it's okay for me, I'm not going to harm another. The faith that you have, keep between yourself and God. Okay, that is my conviction, the convictions that I have. Blessed is the one who has no reason to pass judgment on himself for what he approves. That is talking about violating the conscience. Whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats. If he goes against his conscience and does it anyway, that is condemnation, because the eating is not from faith. We're not fully convinced. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. That concludes chapter 14 for today. Chapter 15 continues on with these thoughts, but we'll pick that up in tomorrow's reading. Thank you for listening, and please continue in prayer that God may be with us all.